Okay, welcome to Shabbos, Daf 133, Kuf Lamed Gimel. Okay, Tanahi, Tanya Basa, Abishish Bel Shem Beharis Yimel, right, in terms of being able to cut the Beharis, the leprosy, in that spot, which we've spoken about numerous times. Amar Lartzuchel Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Davar Shein HaMaskavin is Aser. Feel the Rabbi Shem, Mud Rabbi Shem, by a Psik Resha, if it's definitely going to happen. Then we have the principle where Shem Lagosh Ben Lakish says, Kol Malkum Sha'ata Motze Asei Velot Asei, whenever you find a positive and a negative, great. If not, yavo ase v'yidcha lo tase. Right, let it push aside the lo tase. So Rav Ashi says Shabbason is an ase, harvi leyomtav is an ase and a lo tase. V'ein ase docha a lo tase and an ase. It's a klamer b'kivim Rav Yehuda Marav halacha k'Rabbi Akiva utanan gabe Pesach ki agav naklamer k'if kol malacha that you could do erev Shabbos will not be docha the Shabbos. Shchita Shiev Shar, which you can't do Erev Shabbos, that will be Docha the Shabbos. Okay, we see Korban Pesach has 13 covenants that were made, Shloshes Rei Brisos that were made with it. Mishnah says, Olsen Kol Tzarchei Mila on Shabbos, do the Mila, the Priya, the Mitzitza, and Nos Nimla Isplanes Akamon. And you circumcise, you uncover the skin by removing the thin membrane, you suck up the blood, place on the bandage, the Isplanes, and cumin as a salve. Im lo shachok merav Shabbos, lo asbishinos. If you didn't grind the cumin for erev Shabbos, you chew it in the teeth. What you could do again on Shabbos itself. Then to 133b, kolzman shatosav imila choser ben al tzitzin hamaakvin, esam ila ben al tzitzin hamaakvin. Can you go back and cut off the parts of the foreskin that are still there, the shreds that are necessary or unnecessary to validate the circumcision? That's a classic sugya of going back for the tzitzin hamaakvin. Okay, Rishon Ryokim Roka says, Mishum Delobin Zek Keli Van Veyu, but over here, Zek Keli Van Veyu, you need this, my God, and glorifies him, which shows that you need to do the mitzvah of Bris Mila in a certain level of hiddur. Tanya Zek Keli Van Veyu, Hisna Lufon of B'mitzvahs, you should make a sukkah na, lulav na, shopern, shofar na, tzitzis na, sefer Torah na, kosebol lishmo, bidyo na, kulmas na, lavlar, umen, korn, all this shiroin na. Abishol says, Ban Veyu, Anvehu have domelo, just as he is merciful, so too you are chanun v'rachum. This is all classic stuff here. Talks a little about the shnei sedarim of the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim is the showbread, is an offering of 12 loaves that are matzah, which are arranged in two stacks. Sedarim, 6 loaves to each stack, on the golden table of the Mishkan, or the base of Migdash. And the fresh loaves were arranged on the table every Shabbos, and they're left there until the following Shabbos. And the loaves that are removed are eaten by the Kohanim. The loaves that are separated by wooden rods, Kohanim, to allow air to circulate so that the bread won't spoil. A komets, the amount that's going to fit under the middle three fingers when they are pressed upon the palm of Lavona in a bazach, in a bowl, is placed next to each stack. Only the Lavona is offered on the Mizbech. The loaves had the shape of a box at the top and both ends removed. Each loaf was 5 tvachim wide, 15 inches. Its base was 5 by 6 tvachim. Its sides bent up 2 tvachim. Okay, the Gemara says, Tvavcho shalze, betzat tevcho shalze. As the Kohanim placed the lechem upon him, they were careful there would not be more than a tefach spaced in between them. Tosefta Menachos mentioned that to fill the requirement that there must be an unstopping presence of lechem upon him on the table. The tefach thickness of the new loaf would correspond to the tefach thickness of the old loaf, so they'd always have achieved that same need to have lechem upon him there. Okay, the Gemara said that according to Yehuda, the Torah forbids performing milah when there's a leprous nega that is tamei on the place of the mila, even though one does not have intention to cut off the nega. A davar shenem eskavin is aser midaraisa according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara concludes that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's forbidden because of psik resha. So why does the Gemara say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's forbidden midaraisa to do a davar shenem eskavin and cut off the nega? We find that Rabbi Yehuda normally permits davar shenem eskavin only midarabanan and not midaraisa. So the Marshal explains that only with regard to the laws of Shabbos does Rabbi Yehuda say that a davar shenem eskavin is aser midarabanan. As Tosfos in 41b explains, with regard to Shabbos, the Torah requires explicit intention to perform the malacha, malachas machshavas, in order to be chayav. Now, with regard to other prohibitions of the Torah, such as the case here of cutting off a nega, which are not regulated by the condition of malachas machshavas, a davar shenu miskavin is aser midaraisa. Rashi writes that if an uncircumcised adult Jewish man has a leprous nega, if he has a leprous nega in the place of his mila, and he points someone else to perform the mila, and therefore cut off the nega as well, the appointed mol is chayav for cutting off the nega tame. The mol is considered as though he had intention to cut the nega off, since the man who appointed him certainly had an interest in getting rid of the nega because he wanted to become tahor. Similarly, if the father points a mol to perform a mila on child, and the father's there during the mila, since the father certainly intends to remove the nega from his son, while the mila is performed, the mol is chayav as if he intended to transgress the issur of moving a nega tame. Why, when one person has in mind to remove a nega and he asks a mold formula for him, is the mold's act considered an intentional removal of a nega tame? And the mold performs the mila, does not intend to remove the nega, and the person who does intend to remove the nega does not perform any action. So the mole should not be chayev because he doesn't have intention to cut off the nega. The person who appointed him should not be chayev because a shaliach cannot be appointed to commit a avera, that's ain shaliach ledvar avera, on his behalf. Only when the mole intends to cut off the nega should he be chayev. Also, Rashi points out that when a father appoints a mole to do the mila on the child, he's going to be chayev. The mole's chayev if the father is still omed al gavav. Now, what difference does it make if the father is present there? Or not, right? Why should it make a difference? So the Mishnah Lamelech Mecheschina explains, as long as the father, in the first case of the Gemara, the person on whom the meal is performed, is present at the time of the Mila, the mole can't avoid having in mind to satisfy whatever kavanas the father has at the time of the Mila. Since the mole knows the father will be pleased by the removal of the nega, he inevitably intends to remove the nega as well. And only if the father is not there at all does the mole perform the Mila exclusively in order to remove the orla without intention to remove the nega. Rashi learns this point from the Gemara's statement that when a person has a nega on his own orla, he never really intends to remove the nega at the moment he performs the mila. And therefore it's clear from the Gemara that even if someone else performs the mila on him, he does it with the intent to remove the nega. So apparently the mole's intentions are controlled by the person who orders the mila. However, if the mila is done on a person's son and there's a nega on the orla, the Gemara says that it's possible for the mole to perform the mila exclusively for the sake of the mitzvah mila. And apparently his intentions are not controlled by the client in that case. To resolve that stira, Rashi concludes that as long as the person orders the meal is present at the time, he will can determine the mole's intentions. And when the meal is performed on his own body, he's obviously present. But when it's performed on his son, he doesn't necessarily need to be present. So even though one is prohibited from moving a negatame from one's body intentionally, the Gemara concludes that one is allowed to cause a nega to be removed from his skin indirectly, such as by carrying an object on one's shoulder that rubs against and removes the nega there. And that's permitted even if it's a psik ratio, that the object on the shoulder will remove the nega. If one is allowed to remove the nega indirectly, even when doing that as a psik ratio, then why does the Gemara need to find a source to teach us that one is permitted to cut off an orla that has a nega on it? According to both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, you should be allowed to cut off the orla that has a nega on it because it doesn't have intention to remove the nega, even though it's a psik ratio. So the Ramban answers that indeed, now that we know that one is permitted to remove a nega indirectly, even though it's a psik ratio, a source that teaches us that mila may be done even when there's a nega applies even when you intend to remove the nega. Such that when a father performs mila on his son, and even though the father has intention to remove the nega so that his son will be tohor, he's allowed to do that since there's no one else available to do the mila. And similarly, when a person needs to perform mila on himself, he could do it even though he has no intention to remove the nega. The Mishnah said that all actions that are necessary to perform mila are done on Shabbos, but if the medicine for the child wasn't prepared and ground before Shabbos, one should chew it with his teeth in order to prepare it with a shinoi. Why do you have to do a shinoi? Normally, straight up Yoch Nefesh, one is permitted to do a malacha on Shabbos, and there's no need to perform malacha through use of shinoi. So Tosfos says that even though he's in a situation of Yoch Nefesh, one should try to do a shinoi if possible when one has to perform a malacha. And the Shach explains that since a person knows in advance that a child will be in a state of Yikuch Nefesh, the allowance to do Malacha on Shabbos is not as absolute as it is in a normal case of Yikuch Nefesh, and therefore one has to do the Malacha with a Shinoi. The Gemara quoted a Braisa that says when a Mila is performed on Shabbos, after the Mila itself, the Mol has to go back and cut off the Tzitzin HaMa'akvein, any pieces of skin that remain that cover the majority of the Atara after the Orla was cut off. This requirement applies whether or not the Mol is still involved in the Mila. Contrast, the mole does not go back and cut off tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin if he's no longer involved in the mi'ila. And the Gemara explains that this depends on the machlokes, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim with regard to the removal of the replacement lechem upon him in the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Chachamim, the Kohanim who bring in the new lechem upon him has to replace the old lechem upon him immediately when the old lechem upon him are removed in order for it to be considered tamid. And that's because the Torah requires that there be lechem upon him on the shulchan tamid at all times. According to Rabbi Yossi, the new lechem upon him, if he placed later on in the same day, it's continuously versus continually. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, acts done at different times are still considered part of it. So how does that argument relate to cutting off the tzitzit shena ma'akvin? So Rashi and most Rishonim explain that the reason the mole has to go back to mutzin shena ma'akvin is because of the requirement to beautify the performance of mitzvahs, which is learned from Zekei Livan Ve'u, as the Gemara mentions. On Shabbos, though, since the presence of the tzitzin does not invalidate the mila, you can't do a malacha merely to fill the concept of beautifying the mitzvah. But if it's done as part of one long action of performing the mila, then it can be done on Shabbos because it's part of the mila. The Rambam writes that a mohel is not required to go back and cut off the tzitzin shena ma'akvin even during the week. The Briskor Rav in the Beis Halevi explains the Rambam learns the Gemara the same way as Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel said that one who stops performing a mitzvah is no longer required to beautify that mitzvah. That means that beautifying a mitzvah is meaningful only when it's done as part of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. After the mitzvah is done, there's no point in beautifying it.